The Deer Island Tunnel was 24 feet in diameter, but became progressively narrower along its final stretch. DJ took comfort in the fact that at least the divers wouldn't have to walk the entire 9.5 miles. Instead, they would travel in 2 souped-up Hummer Humvees. They needed 2 because deep inside the tunnel, there wouldn't be enough room to turn a vehicle around. So, they used a 2-way trailer to tow a 2nd Humvee facing in the opposite direction, which they would use for the return trip. DJ liked the military special ops feel to the mission, even if the unorthodox breathing system at the center of it made him nervous. Over by the Humvees, he found the other 2 divers who would round out their team. Tim Nordine was a husky guy who had recently shaved down his bushy beard into a goatee so it wouldn't interfere with the seal on his face mask. At 39, Tim was the oldest guy on the crew and had the air of someone who'd experienced enough in life to know not to sweat its little stresses. Standing on the bumper of one of the Humvees was Foreman Billy Juss, who happened to be DJ's close friend and the only member of the team he knew well. Billy had a slim, 5'9" frame and a dark mustache with edges as squared off as tape cut with scissors. DJ loved to tease Billy about that thick, dense landing strip under his nose. "Hey, Billy," he would say, "I forgot to bring my lunch today. You mind if I clean off your mustache when you're done eating? I'm sure I can find enough left over in there to make a sandwich." The team would drive the Humvees as far into the tunnel as they could go. At that point, 2 divers would camp out, while the other 3 trudged on foot to the very end of the tunnel. The assignment called for DJ and Tim to remain in the Humvee. But before the journey began, Billy pulled his buddy aside. He said his back was hurting and asked DJ to switch places with him. "You're a pussy," DJ said. "Maybe so," Billy shot back, "but I'm your boss." That was only partially true, and they shared a knowing laugh. They both usually answered to tap, but it had already become painfully clear that on this job, even Tap wasn't in charge. After a slow, 2-hour drive, the lead Humvee reached the 9.25-mile mark, beyond which it could go no farther. Billy and Tim remained planted inside the vehicle, monitoring the breathing system for all 5 divers, while DJ, Riggs, and Haas began their trek on foot. The 3 guys remained connected through about 1,500 feet of hose to the air system back in the Humvee. The hose was called an umbilical because a diver could not survive without it any longer than a baby in the womb could survive without hers. It took DJ, Riggs, and Haas 20 minutes to trudge with their gear about 1,100 feet. Haas positioned himself outside the final stretch of the tunnel, just before its width shrank to 5 feet. His job was to watch over their connections to the main breathing system and use a communications wire to call in periodic updates to Tim back in the Humvee. DJ and Riggs slogged onward, duck walking several 100 feet more to the tunnel's end. Once there, Riggs took on the toughest assignment, shimmying deep into a slimy, skinny connector pipe to remove a heavy safety plug. With DJ's help, he would need to repeat that task in a series of pipes. To most people, the claustrophobia inside that cramped black space so far from civilization would be paralyzing. The pipe Riggs had to crawl through measured just 30 inches across, not much wider than his shoulders. And he had to be careful not to jostle the cumbersome breathing gear that was keeping him alive. Not long after Riggs emerged from the pipe, Haas noticed that the diver's umbilicals had become dangerously tangled. He instructed DJ and Riggs to get their hoses straightened out before doing anything else. As Haas began his own untangling effort, he looked up to see something startling. DJ was collapsing onto the tunnel floor in a strange kind of involuntary slow motion.
"Are you okay, DJ?"
Haas yelled, muffled through his face mask. Before he could finish his sentence, Riggs went down next, falling on one knee in front of DJ. Haas suddenly felt lightheaded himself, in a warm and fuzzy way, as though he had just tossed back a few cocktails. He had enough presence of mind to know that warm and fuzzy was not how you wanted to be feeling when you were buried under the sea, miles from land.
"I need to call Tim," he said.
When he reached Tim on the comm wire, Haas pressed him for what the oxygen content was in their main breathing supply. Anything below 19% meant trouble. Tim said he and Billy would check. A few seconds later, Tim called back.
"Shit! It's 8.9! he shouted frantically.
Then the line went dead.